What's up, citizens of Apologia? This is King Ginger, and I just wanted to take a moment to encourage you all to sign up for Apologia All Access. When you sign up for Apologia All Access, you're going to get exclusive on-demand content. This means that you and your entire family are going to get to watch every single TV show, every single after show, and every single Apologia Academy, with new content dropping every single week. But most importantly, your contribution helps Apologia Studios create quality, Christ-centered entertainment that reaches millions of people on our YouTube channels and through our podcast with the gospel. So what are you waiting for? Change everything at ApologiaRadio.com.
On Rockabotus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
No, when we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Apologia Radio. This is the gospel heard around the world. ApologiaRadio.com is where you get us. Get all the past episodes. Don't forget to check out EndAbortionNow.com right now. We are actually having, as of the airing of this episode, EndAbortionNow.com, the conference here in Phoenix, Arizona. All the leaders and pastors from churches across the United States coming in to talk about how to bring the gospel to the abortion mills, how to work consistently together with a consistent message, a gospel-focused message, to end abortion once and for all in our nation. And so that's what's up. So that's what's happening this weekend. Be praying for the conference and all that God is doing through that work. And very exciting show today. We are in the makeshift studio right now because we are nearing completion, wouldn't you say, Pastor Luke?
Pretty close, yeah.
For the set for next week. And next week is the name of the show. Confuses people for some reason.
It won't be ready next week.
It's not actually happening next week. It's next week with Jeff Durbin. Next week. That's what's happening. So it'll be Tuesdays, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to engage the cultural issues happening in the day with a biblical worldview. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're also going to point people to endabortionnow.com a lot and try to mobilize a church across the United States. So that's coming right now. So we're in the makeshift studio right now in the writer's room. And that's what's happening. But we have very special guests in the studio today. Very special guests. So first and foremost, of course, we have Pastor Luke.
What's up?
We have Luke the Bear.
Sorry, I'm laughing at this guy over here.
Oh, yeah?
I have a question.
Okay, what's the question?
Why are there television cameras if this is Apologia Radio?
Yeah, that's we would kill two birds with one stone. You didn't know we were
special
doing...
Special edition.
Wait, it's a special edition. We're doing the radio show. What it is, Dr. White, is actually we don't have time to do anything else, and so we're squeezing it into one.
I just wondered about the radio part, because I've often said I have a face for radio, but then there's a... thing over
I'm
there.
Surprised after all this time that you still haven't got Dr. White to say Apologia.
Yeah, I don't.
That's because I actually teach Greek.
He does it when he's trying to be loving to me when nobody else is watching.
All right.
So, yeah,
but there's just a standard you have to stand for.
That's right. That's right. He's just trying to be consistent. Inconsistency is a sign of a failed Greek.
Right. That's right. That's right.
So, well, now you guys already know who's here. So let's go ahead and introduce. We have Cy10 Brugenkate.
Hey.
ProofThatGodExists.org. What's
glad
up?
Glad to be here, brother.
What are you doing here?
I'm hanging with my brothers at Paula something or other.
Yeah.
I will be non-committal.
So he's...
At Apollo... Yeah,
oh,
I can't even say
you can
Apologia.
Apollo, what's it?
Apologia.
So he's here for about a week, and we're doing some stuff for Apologia Academy, and we're doing some evangelism, and just a bunch of stuff.
Loving
so,
it, brother.
That's
out
right.
On the street the last couple days.
That's right. Actually, I'm going to play one of those clips here, because it's really short. We're going to do it. And, of course, we have Dr. James White.
It's good to be here.
That's right. Alpha and Omega Ministries, AOMIN, AOMIN.org. That's where you go to get his stuff. And if you are not watching The Dividing Line, what's wrong with you?
That's right.
The Dividing Line. It's like almost every day.
No. It's like, no, thankfully it's not.
It was Tuesdays.
It's when Rich and I do
it. It's when you can. Okay. So it's like at least three times a week. Two, three times
no,
a week.
No, it's normally twice a week.
Twice a week. Okay. Okay. So you should be watching it. You go to Alpha and Omega Ministries on YouTube and you get the live stream. It's happening throughout the week. And of course, you can watch all of the past debates and other things Dr. White has done. You get it on YouTube, Alpha and Omega, and it's just all over the place. Also, Dr. Oakley.
Dr. Oakley 1689 on YouTube.
Dr. Oakley 1689 on YouTube. It's a separate channel. Tons of stuff there. So check it out. You guys, no real introduction for these guys. And so let me go ahead and do it. Since Cy has been here, we got a chance to do a few things, and let me go ahead and play a clip of something that happened yesterday.
I don't know what clip it is.
It's the You're No Messiah.
Oh,
I was going to ask if this is about Cy's deity.
Yeah, so just quickly, it's a short clip. Cy and I walked up to the abortion mill yesterday in Tempe, and it's a good thing you didn't get to see the first thing that happened to us. There was a man that pulled up on a bicycle. He thought we weren't with everyone, and so he just started dropping stuff at us, and we were like, no, actually, we're with them. And he just got foul. So thankfully he didn't see that. But as the clip starts, it's on Apologia Studios. You'll see
you
the guy.
Give him some context of what this fellow was saying.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I don't know. You know.
Oh, which guy?
Fellow who I'm talking to.
You're talking to. Okay, yeah. So just quickly, we have people that come to the abortion mill, and it is just difficult and hostile. It's a very, very ugly situation right now. Planned Parenthood supporters in Arizona are trying to stop us. They're going to try to stop us at the conference. And they're just out there ringing cowbells and blasting Anton LaVey, who's the person who authored the Satanic Bible, and alongside Satan, of course. And so they're playing like messages from Anton LaVey to try to, like, you know, make people not be able to hear us, and music. It's just a mess. Anyway, so they've been nasty to us until we've started to actually engage them in conversation, and now it's changing.
But this fellow had said that that I was your Messiah.
Yes.
He had said that.
Yes.
Prior to me even being in Arizona. And I guess, I don't know if he knew that we were friends or not, or what the deal
was.
Oh,
he knew.
Now, you know, we're going to play this clip.
Yeah.
But just so you know, this fellow, he's been watching the videos. And in fairness, afterwards, we had a very reasonable discussion.
Very good discussion.
Because, I think he recognized the absurdity of what he was saying and saw that we weren't, like, idiots.
Yeah.
And we ended up having some good discussion with this fellow.
Here we go. Here we go.
I called you our Lord and Savior.
Oh, yeah? I'm not. Trust me. I'm a boiler operator.
See, here's the thing. Now, it's incumbent on you to prove to me that you're not our Messiah.
I don't have to prove
Isn't
that
an interesting condition?
Well, that depends, sir, on what your standard of proof is.
If you don't prove to me that you're not my Messiah, I'm going to worship you as our Messiah.
Are you?
I'm going to have the
Okay, here's what I'm going
to
command you to do, then. I'm going to command you to repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ before it's too late.
Jesus Christ is no more. You're the Messiah.
Well, sir, if you are listening to me, and you consider me as your Messiah, then I'm telling you what you should do. That you should worship, put your trust in Jesus Christ before it's too late.
In because, Jesus Christ doesn't exist.
Well, you're not listening to me, sir. You're not listening to me.
I am listening to you.
As your Messiah, I'm telling you to put your trust in Jesus Christ before it's too late.
No.
You're being disobedient, then I'm not your Messiah, clearly.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Well, that's never happened to me.
Proverbs 26:5.
Tell everyone what that means.
Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes.
Yes.
He abandoned, immediately after that, he abandoned that line of reasoning. So.
That's right. So you step into his position, show him his folly, and that's where the refutation comes. Take his position, adopt it, show him the consequences, right. And there you go.
So he had been watching and was basically trying to mock your approach, the way he was doing it.
Well, I think that he... I actually don't even know how I entered into this conversation before. And for some reason, you know, you get that on the street quite often that people posit other deities. And for some reason, he threw me into that mix and figured it was a good refutation.
I get the feeling he knew who you were.
He did.
Yeah,
he did.
But I mean, he threw me in as some kind of deity and, you know, hypothesized that as a refutation of our worldview.
Yeah, I was getting the feeling that what he was saying was he was going to try to force you to disprove. And he was hearing, his idea was, all you're doing is presenting something and then demanding we disprove something. Well, I'm going to make you try to disprove something to show you how silly it is. I have a feeling that's what he was doing.
Yeah. But yeah, the thing is, like I said, I'm a boiler operator. So that kind of insight I might drop on me, you know, a couple months later, but I think that's probably exactly what he was doing.
Well, he knew who Sai was, and the week before last, he had been challenging me, and he brought Sai up, and he said Sai taught you everything you know, so he knew. So when you came walking up, I'm sure he was like, "What's happening?" Maybe he thinks that like I bought a ticket for you to come out, and I was like, "I'm gonna bring him."
Well, I think Zach said he was asking, "Where's Sai at?" And then you walked up. I don't even know if you were here or what. So
interesting.
I think many atheists have nightmares about Sai.
I think
that's why they're sort of looking for him around every under the bed, in the closet.
They wake up, like Sai. Yeah.
But as you'll notice in that video too, and you know, granted, I think in the earlier manifestations of Sai, I was a little bit more, I would say, probably cutthroat. And it's not
cutthroat. Is that allowed? Is that allowed in Canada?
But they ain't got guns, so they got to cut. Yeah.
I try to be more and more loving. But, you know, it's interesting because watching that debate, I would not call you a cutthroat in that debate. But I, you know what quote really popped into my mind watching you in that last debate that you didn't? It was in North Dakota or South Dakota?
Rapid City, South Dakota.
Yeah, it's that quote where, I think it's by Calvin, where he says, somebody attacks my if a dog attacks his master.
No, if somebody attacks the master, the dog
the dog will bark. Barks, right. Yeah. He says, and I would be a coward not to speak up when somebody challenges the word of God, the word of my master. And that's the feeling that I got when you're in that debate. And the thing is, it's just when they do that, that has to invoke some passion. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I see that, and then just the passionate presentation of the gospel in that debate, I thought was amazing. So anyhow, back to the situation is that, you know, some people mistake my passion for being cutthroat, being mean, and I'm trying to direct that passion into a more loving presentation. And I think, you know, we've seen in those last couple of videos what becomes of that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because that fellow, he was very aggressive in past encounters, and well, you see him and the person he was with.
Transgender man.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I actually mentioned that in the video this morning, and he didn't like that I said transgender man.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that we should not abandon language just because people don't like it.
Right. Right. Yeah,
but exactly. I also want to be respectful of him. See, there, you know, that will probably be offensive as well. But
there's no way around it. It's just the way that it is.
But, you know, I think that we go out there, we love on them, and I think that's the kind of thing, and not a fake thing, but that's the kind of thing I think that they don't understand, don't expect. They expect the hostility. They know how to react to the hostility. But when we go out there and we genuinely love on them, I think that it's something that they don't know how to deal with.
So you mentioned manifestations of Sai, which is a good segue into, when we say manifestations, the discussion of Unitarianism and look at
no, manifestations
tell.
Would be civilianism.
Oh, you're right. Okay, I'm trying my best to make a segue.
Yeah, here. It's not working. Sorry.
No, okay.
What's that, Patrick?
Patrick, that's modalism.
Speaking of false teaching, Dr. White, you actually just got back from South Dakota. And I'm going to say his name wrong on purpose here. You had a debate
Joe Ventilacion.
Yeah, Ventilation.
No.
Ventilacion. That's how I said Ventilacion. And where is he from?
Well, that's the background of this. For some reason, Iglesia Ni Cristo, which is the second largest religious group after the Roman Catholics in the Philippines, is an anti-Trinitarian cult group. In the Philippines, based in the Philippines, and really is still almost all primarily Filipino, but there's a large Filipino population, you know, outside of the Philippines. So
Right. They
have a lot of influence. Well, I had heard of them before, but you know, it was sort of like when someone dragged me into dealing with the Black Hebrew Israelites, which you all were partially responsible for that. Anyway,
we did that.
Yeah,
we did. You're welcome, by the way.
Yeah, you're welcome. You know, people are always saying, well, you need to debate this group. You can only debate so many groups well, you know. And so what happened was the guys from South Dakota Apologetics contacted me back in January and said, look, we've got this group. They have purchased a town. They've bought the town outside of Rapid City. And they are impacting what's going on here in South Dakota. and we'd like to arrange, they're big into debates, and we'd like to arrange a debate with them. And so I was like, well, send me some videos, you know, send me some links to what these guys are all about. And the first video I watched, same guy, Joe Ventilacion, was debating a Church of God minister who should never have debated. Wasn't even Orthodox Trinitarian. I think he was not Orthodox Trinitarian mainly because he just didn't know. But here was a guy who was using all this really bad argumentation and utilizing the languages when I could tell he really did not know the languages very well himself and this kind of stuff. And so I wrote back to him and I said, you know, I sort of looked at my schedule, which then was more open than it is now.
Right.
This is by far the busiest year of ministry I've ever put in for myself. I don't know how I'm going to do it. And I said, well, sort of a couple weeks toward the end of April, maybe, you know. And so we put it together. And what they did is they signed the documents without any committal on either side as to who was going to be doing the debate. So they knew that Joe Ventilacion, who had been assigned to that area for some reason, even though he's from the Philippines, he had lived in California. No one knows what they're doing out there because they're not building anything. Mm-hmm. It's just really weird. We have some theories, but we can't prove them. We knew it was going to be him, and he's their main debater. And so once we had the thing signed, then they said, so who have you gotten? Oh, just bring in some guy named James in, you know, and James who, you know? And so they give him the information, and Joe's sitting there Googling, and goes, this is going to be an interesting debate, because they had never debated an experienced apologist before. Mm-hmm. Well, one other guy had taken on a professor in California once that had done pretty well. But other than that, certainly Mr. Ventilacion had never taken on anyone that has actually knows the original languages, has taught them, an right. author, anything like that. So we it's really hard to explain this group, but they make the Jehovah's Witnesses look liberal. Okay, as far
as... Explain, what do you mean?
When we think of the Witnesses, we think of them as being extremely controlling.
Right.
Of their people.
Very, yes. Mm-hmm.
They are liberal in comparison to Iglesia Ni Cristo. You have to sign in. And any church you're going to, if you want to attend one of their things, someone sits with you, they watch you, you have to sign in.
Wow. Okay.
If basically salvation is through your church membership. And so even when you move from one local church to another, you have to arrange that movement. And there's sort of a questionable area as to whether you're really saved in between transition okay. period.
No,
that's how tightly controlled by the organization they are.
Are they alive during that transition period?
that's a question. Yeah, and so first of all, I am not an expert on these people. And what I told the guys up there, I says, look, what I don't have time to do is become an expert on everything in them, and no one can be. Most of the people that I know, there's a website, trueiglesia.org, trueiglesia, IGLECIA.org. Two of my channel rats, we have a chat channel, and there are two guys that are regulars in there, Taco and CCO3, which is Nick and Conley are their name. They know much more about it, and what they've learned it by going, taking the courses, speaking with Iglesia Ni Cristo people. They don't have books. They have some magazines or some articles. They have a book called Fundamental Beliefs of Iglesia Ni Cristo, but they won't let anybody have it. And we've been trying to get hold of a copy. I even asked Mr. Ventilacion the day after the debate about getting a copy of that book. Someone took a picture of that and said I was converting to Iglesia Ni Cristo.
Yes.
I mean, it's just amazing.
Shared like nearly 1,000 times.
Exactly. And all I'm doing is saying to him, last night you accused me of misrepresenting you. How can anyone not misrepresent you when you won't even, you know, where's your official beliefs?
Right.
Oh, well, there's these videos. No. You need something. You've quoted my book. Mm-hmm. You can know what I believe. You've got statements of faith, confession of faith, so on and so forth. And they wouldn't give it to me.
Yeah.
And we've even put out the call, you know, we'll buy this thing. And we had somebody in the Philippines say, well, a former minister, he'll sell it to you. Yeah, well, finally get down to 5,000. And it's a paperback, about yay big. And it's like, no, thank you. But they're extremely secretive. And they even explained to me, well, you know, we only give this book to our ministers, et cetera, et cetera. So it's hard to be an expert on them. I even discovered something during the debate when something came up about Jesus' death. It seems that they do not believe that there is a conscious spiritual or any type of a continuation after death, which was similar to Jehovah's Witnesses at that point. And so it's tough not to quote unquote misrepresent them when they don't have any meaningful positive. And I was talking, I think, with Conley of True Iglesia, and he said he was talking to some folks in this group, and for like the past couple of months, all the sermons, of course, are the same. Just as in Jehovah's Witnesses, all the Watchtower studies are the same each week, so on and so forth. All the sermons are the same across Iglesia and Christendom, and they've all been about why the Trinity's wrong.
Wow.
So there really isn't any positive theology in this group. It's just, especially in the Philippines, it's Catholicism is the big thing.
Right.
That's the thing that we are against. And it's all just negativity about that. It's what we don't believe. There's almost nothing positively about what we actually do believe, other than they believe they have this incredibly wild interpretation of texts in Isaiah about the far west and about 1914, believe it or not, 1914, because that's when they were incorporated with the government in the Philippines. And their initial leader was the final speaker for God. And he's prophesied in the book of Isaiah and all the rest of this stuff. And so the church administration is the big thing they're really dedicated to. And they've got videos, little children singing songs about the church administration, all this stuff. But they are absolutely controlled and have no capacity whatsoever for independent thought, inquiry, anything like that. And that's why the debate went the way that it did, because Mr. Ventilacion is not trying to convince me of anything. Mm-hmm. He's not trying to win my people. He's not trying to engage any of that. What he's doing is he is repeating the key mantras that their people have been taught, and they are then to react in a particular way to that.
Right.
So it's a mind control thing. It truly is cultic behavior with a capital C.
So you spent your life ministering in so many different areas. You've talked to atheists. You've talked to Muslims, but in particular, you have these cults that ape Christianity. You have Mormonism, the Watchtower, and here's another example: Iglesia Ni Cristo. You have sort of a consistent pattern of sociological manipulation that exists in all of them, right? What are some things people can look for that are patterns within these religions that ape Christianity, borrow our terminology? But, I mean, it doesn't have to be just be Christian. I mean, it can exist, and Scientology has this stuff. I mean, it exists everywhere. What kind of indicators do you see when somebody is in a cult?
There's all sorts of things, and of course, they take on different flavors depending on who you're talking to. I mean, obviously, there was much more hierarchical control in Utah under Brigham Young than there is now.
Yeah.
So there's change over time. There is more control with the Watchtower Society of their people 30 years ago than now. They've realized with the internet, they can't control the flow of information anymore.
That's right.
Yeah. And so they've had to, for example, the Watchtower Society is changing their 1914 teaching. Well, they're having to do it very slowly and very carefully because they know their people have access to the internet and therefore they're going to see these things.
Yeah.
And so they're doing it differently. So you have an authoritative, I want to contrast that with the authority of the Word of God or the church or whatever else, but you have an authoritative organization that is not to be questioned. And they try to keep their people in a position to where they cannot critically look at what the organization or the hierarchy or the ministers are saying and sort of step back and compare that with an objective standard, anything like that. That's why one of the things I say when you're witnessing Jehovah's Witnesses is that one of the things you want to try to accomplish is to get them in a position to where they can look at the Watchtower Society objectively. Instead of seeing themselves as the society, you want to get them looking at the society from an external perspective. That's next to impossible to do with Iglesia Ni Cristo. I mean, they are just so conditioned. It's amazing.
What if, okay, so somebody says to you, okay, so I see that kind of manipulation and that kind of control, but how is Christianity different? How is somebody being involved in a local church under the leadership of under elders who have a spiritual authority? How is a solidly biblical view of the church where there is authority, where there is discipline, how is that different than these different cults where they have what they would say is their own organizational structure of authority?
Yeah, the difference being, of course, that the individuals in these, you know, the ministers of Iglesia Ni Cristo are under absolutely no external objective standard that the people can refer to. They can come up with whatever rules they want to come up with. They can do whatever they want with the text of the Bible. The individual person has no standing and is not encouraged to develop the ability to objectively access a confession of faith or anything. And the very fact that this book, which we'd like to get hold of, is not even given to the people in Iglesia Ni Cristo. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. You know, their people know this book exists.
Yeah.
They've seen the minister with it. They're not allowed to look at it.
Yep.
There is a huge difference because in any Christian context, we're wide open with what the standards are. Mm-hmm. You know, at our church, you read the confession of faith, you read the constitution before you become a member. Yeah. You got any questions about that? Got any problems with that? You know, there's and it's not like, yeah, well, once you join, then we got some other stuff we're not going to tell you about.
Right.
But no, it doesn't.
You get to the next part of the rung of the ladder.
Exactly. Yeah. That doesn't work that way. Yeah. So, you have the authority issue is completely different there. And of course we are encouraging our people to cultivate their minds, cultivate their understanding of scripture. There is the level of ignorance on the part of Iglesia Ni Cristo as to the backgrounds of the Bible, the languages of the Bible, the history of the Bible. Well, it comes up in the debate. I mean, I'm taking on a group of five guys. While I'm speaking, they're hardly even listening to me because, again, their focus is to pick things out of what I say that they can fit into their rah, 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 our people up. They don't care whether it's relevant to what I said.
Right.
I mean, in my opening statement, I started off by saying, let's not waste our time here. If you quote John 17:3, it's because you are assuming Unitarianism and you're ignoring what the doctrine of the Trinity actually is. So what does he do when he gets up? Focuses right in on John 17:3, ignoring everything that I said about it, so on and so forth. So they can do that because they know that they're... I did not see any people there with Bibles.
From
their side. The Christians had Bibles, but they just trust what they're read by their ministers. And I came to understand that, you know, when I first walk in, I'm looking at this stage. It's the most complicated debate stage I've ever seen in my life. There are three tables followed by two table. There's two tables, two podiums, a middle table for the moderator and two timekeepers, and then two tables in the back. And I'm like, I'm not going to have anybody with me. There's no need for this. So they remove those tables. So I'm just over there alone. There's five guys on the side with at least 70 books stacked, and they all have little numbers on them. So they've got a numeration system so they can look stuff up. Two computers. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is to be able to feed Mr. Ventilacion whatever translation of the Bible helps them to make their point on any verse. Mm. They do not use any single translation. They will use whatever helps them on a particular verse. And if that same translation, like they use the New Living Translation. Mm-hmm. Well, the New Living Translation, I sort of owe the NLT guys a bit of an apology because I was pretty hard on it. But I obviously, it's super simplified, and I don't think that means it's useful for a debate like this. But there are a number of places where it clearly identifies Jesus as God.
Yeah.
It even has the translation Romans 9:5, where it identifies Jesus plainly as God. Well, they don't care about that. As long as they can use it over here to get around your point, then they'll go over to the Lamza translation over here, this translation over there, this one, whatever they can use to cobble something together to get around stuff. Inconsistency is the sign of INC, quote-unquote, theology. Really more argumentation and cult mind control. Is
also the sign of a failed argument. I heard that from this.
Somewhere. I don't know where it came from. That's a boring statement.
Luke, I know you probably want to say something, but you have the tables. Now, people might not have seen the debate yet, so if you guys get a chance, go watch the debate. We're going to put it in a link under where we put this show. there he brought like his crew with him. So there's like his crew standing behind him with his book table. And these guys are sitting there throughout the entire debate, like just sitting there, like on stage, just like representing.
It was the bench.
And here's the thing. If we would have known that that's how it was going to be, we could have brought your crew. We would have just been like, hold on, we could have our own soundtrack. I mean, there's some way we could have handled that.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
That's awesome.
All right, now back to the serious nature of this radio show.
One thing that I really appreciate about Dr. White's ministry is his desire to represent his opponent accurately.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which was hard to do in this.
But
the thing is, there are people who might be critical of misrepresentation, but they never provide fact with Dr. White. They say, well, he misrepresented us. This is what he said. This is what we actually believe. Because Dr. White doesn't do that. He tells us what they actually believe. You know, and I think...
If I can.
Mm-hmm. I understand
the one thing where he said misrepresented, because I said, you believe Jesus is a mere creature. Well, I even explained that, and they ignored my response. I pointed out the fact, look, you do believe he's a created being, and therefore the chasm between what is uncreated and created is Jesus is on the created side. So however high you want to exalt him, it doesn't matter. He's still a creature. That's the point. They don't care about... At one point, I even got him to say, well, I didn't try to get him to say, he just said this. He says, I don't care what your position is.
Right.
Wow. We were talking about ego, I, me, and the fact that in the Forgotten Trinity, the connection I make between Jesus' use of ego, I, me, is to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 40-10, 44, so on and so forth. And then from that back to Exodus 3, he just wanted to jump straight back to Exodus 3. And the connection there, I say in my book, is not the strongest. You have to go through the prophetic use first. Well, he did, at one point he says, I don't care what your position is.
Right. Oh.
And I'm just sort of like, the sad thing is for his people, they didn't hear that. And even if they did, they don't care. They're sort of like, yeah, why should he care about what your position is?
But the one consistency in all of your opponents is that they misrepresent our position. And you think what? It would be it's such a waste of time to have to clarify our position from the misrepresentation, but how productive it could be if you just each represented the other person accurately. But that's that's the Calvinism debate. That's this debate. No matter who you debate, it's a misrepresentation of our position. It ends up being a colossal waste of time to have to first correct that misrepresentation and then debate them.
With these cults, that's true. There are some people I've debated the debate that I'm going to be doing May 15th in London. I do not expect to have to be dealing with misrepresentation. I'll be debating Peter D. Williams on the Marian dogmas at the Brompton Oratory in London, which, if you've ever Googled it, is an incredible location. And he and I just did a unbelievable radio broadcast on the Reformation, and that aired last weekend. Mm-hmm. And it's getting huge rave reviews from people saying, man, why can't we have conversations like this more often? It was sharp. Peter D. Williams is probably the best Roman Catholic apologist I've ever taken on. He reads all my books. He listens to all the debates. So unlike the others who just sort of do their thing. And yet it was incredibly respectful. He's one of the main pro-life voices there in England. And yet, you know, I've used this as an illustration many times, sort of ties in with what you do, is that I use this with Tim Staples too. I said, if we were staying outside an abortion mill and somebody came up to you and I and asked, what must I do to be saved? You and I would give different answers.
Right, right, right.
And Peter D. Williams is like, yes, we would, and here's why. There really isn't a misrepresentation for him, but unfortunately that makes him rare. There normally is in most of the situations that I deal with. I am finding it interesting that if you get to know the people that you're debating beforehand, you can get rid of a lot of the misrepresentation because if they actually like you, like Abdullah Kunda, my Muslim friend in Australia, he's not going to misrepresent
me. But if you like your opponent, doesn't that mean that you're soft on their position?
That's what everybody seems to say. But it's amazing what a difference it makes in the character and the quality of the debate itself. And that's certainly what I've been discovering. Sounds like you've been discovering the same thing. Apologetics can give you a real... easy excuse to not really love the people you're trying to reach. And And then if you repent of that and start trying to truly reach out to them, the love of Christ, people will be all over you. And it's not the other side that'll be all over you. It's your own people that'll be all over you, which I'm experiencing even yet again in my life. Yes, yes.
So before we get into the debate, I have two questions. Well, one...
We're just playing clips of it too, by the way.
Okay.
Little pieces.
So as far, we were talking to you at the temple. That's when you told us you're doing this debate. And then we were like, oh, we saw them in Kauai.
Kauai, yeah.
Right. And I just thought it was like a Spanish-speaking church. You know, because you don't know. You don't,
I believe you me. I know. Sign, you know. I know.
So first question, do they do a lot of door-to-door stuff like Jehovah's Witnesses?
They are very aggressive in their evangelization. Exactly how they do it, I can't answer that. But they especially like to go after Roman Catholics.
Okay.
But they will tell people that they'll answer all their questions only from the Bible.
Okay. That one in Kauai is right across the street from the Catholic Church.
Yeah, there's a little section.
Literally across the street.
Where there's a Roman Catholic Church literally sharing like a park lot almost with the Latter-day Saints. Yeah. Then there's a Church of Christ, and there's an Iglesia Ni Cristo.
Which means Church of Christ, by the way.
Yes, yes. But there was an American one.
Right.
So I thought like that must be like the only legitimately Christian one, like just a Spanish-speaking Christian church.
Yeah.
Now I know
that
little corner there, that intersection is just on fire with the cults.
So the other question then is, like, any good cult is usually wrapped around some faulty eschatology. Is that true for them as well? Do they have some sort of crazy, whacked-out end times view?
Honestly, I don't have a clue what their end times views are. Obviously, if they can come up with prophecies that their founder is prophesied as the eagle in the east, right, the far east in Isaiah someplace, they can come up with anything.
Okay.
But I have no earthly idea what their eschatology is.
I thought that was referring to Psy.
It wasn't real clear, but in the debate, it appeared as though they might even be annihilationists as well.
Someone told me that they do have some doctrine of judgment and punishment. How you get there if you cease to exist, I don't know. I know what the witnesses do with that. I have no idea what they would do with that. And I don't know how anybody could ever find out if they don't give you their published works.
So we're going to take just a quick break here. But before we do, just quickly, this would be helpful to people. You went into a debate with a cult that you knew very little about. Mm-hmm. I mean, you understand.
I knew what they believed. I knew what their attacks against the Trinity were.
Right. And so you have an idea of like Unitarianism. Okay, got that. So this is helpful. So somebody might say, well, like, I don't have the ability to learn everything about everything. Well, like you say that. I don't have the ability to learn everything about everything.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
That's right. But here's what's important is you were able to walk into a debate with somebody that you didn't understand everything, but you understood enough of what they deny and where they're at on their side that you're able to minister to them and take them to the scriptures. So I would say, I guess maybe help people understand who are just starting to get into this whole practice of apologetics and evangelism. Maybe they're a little bit afraid. I don't know everything. What do people have to firm up and understand so that they can reach the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormon, the Iglesia Ni Cristo? What should people invest themselves in so they can do that sort of a thing and say, oh, at least I'll be able to handle the fundamentals?
I've said many times when we would prepare people to go out to the temple years and years and years ago, I'd rather have five people out there that know their Bible, know the gospel, and know it well than 50 people who can rip and shred Joseph Smith but have nothing positive to give in his place. Right. And so the same thing is true in this situation. A Christian who really understands the doctrine of the Trinity and the, you know, I emphasize to people the three foundations of the doctrine of the Trinity, the biblical foundations. In fact, there's only one true God, biblical monotheism. The differentiation of the divine persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, the evidence that they are not the same person. And then the equality of those persons. So the deity of Christ, the deity of the Holy Spirit, personality of the Holy Spirit. A person who knows the biblical foundations of their statement of faith in regards to the Trinity will be able to recognize exactly where he's going wrong. May not be able, you know, he threw out a lot of the standard subordinationist texts, which is also what makes the debate useful because, you know, that's a pretty standard. You're going to get that from most of the groups, even from Mormons, they're going to subordinate Jesus to the Father. And so they're going to throw out some of these texts. And so it is very useful to have an understanding of what the actual context those texts are. And then positively to know, to have memorized verses where you have the positive testimony to the deity of Christ, the person, Holy Spirit, whatever else it might be. So memorizing scripture and having an accurate knowledge of where the Bible is coming from in those issues, that's what's important.
There you go. All right, guys, we'll be back. Quick break, and we're going to just play just a couple small pieces from the debate. Give you guys a little taste of it. Hopefully get you guys excited to watch it. And right now, it's actually just exciting. You just had the debate, 130,000 views just on the South Dakota Apologetics page. That's significant. A lot of people are watching this debate. Hopefully it means a lot of their people are watching this debate.
Yes.
That's very, very exciting. So thank God for media and the ability to spread this around the world in an instant like that. It's awesome. Be right back.
For 21 years and counting, New St. Andrews College has sought to obey Christ's great commission to disciple nations and build him a house, not just in Jerusalem, but throughout the world. Not with stones and mortar, but with living stones. We build and fight. This is the task of a Christian liberal arts college, to equip students with the tools to build and fight. And this is our joyful task as we seek to graduate leaders who shape culture through wise and victorious living. To learn more, check us out online at nsa.edu/explore.
Ladies and gentlemen, beauties and beasts, I have some good news for you. But in order for me to tell you the good news, I must share with you the bad. A beard can be a most magnificent thing, but it can also be the downfall of a man. An unmaintained beard prevents a face from shining. An unmaintained beard causes dry, itchy skin. An unmaintained beard is a source of beard drift. You know, like dandruff, but beard drift. An unmaintained beard is sharp and ruthless, like iron bristles, not good for the lady friend. An unmaintained beard forfeits future growth based on a lack of preparation today. And let's not forget that an unmaintained beard robs your face from smelling amazing. Let not thy beard be thy downfall. Protect your manlihood. An epic combination of manliness and manhood. If you are hearing this today, there is hope for your beard. Go to ucosbeard.com and enter the code APOLOGIA and you can save some money while you save your face.
This is the Chocolate Knox. If you love that wonderful sensation of chewing glass, this is the show for you.
Cross Politic is a weekly show and podcast that mixes the taboo formula of faith, culture, and politics, proclaiming the lordship of Christ in every corner of our culture.
Hallelujah.
Gabriel Wrench is a deacon from Texas, and he wears overalls.
One time.
Chocolate Knox, a.k.a. David Shannon, he's a movie maker from Minnesota.
Action!
I'm Toby Sumter, pastor here in Moscow, Idaho, and I used to live in Alaska. Did you know that?
No.
No.
We've interviewed everyone from Alveda King to Ted Cruz to Steve Dace to Walter Williams, and we invite you to join us here at Cross Politic as we learn to fight, laugh, and feast, all to the glory of God. CrossPolitic.com.
So, if you haven't done so yet, you need to pick up a copy of The Forgotten Trinity by Dr. James White. If you don't have that in your library, you need to get it in your library. I think there's a couple of your books that have been used in Bible colleges, seminaries across the United States. And my Bible college, they actually had, as part of the Greek class, they had the King James Only Controversy to help understand manuscripts.
How come you never plug my books?
Wait a second. You need to get to work. Me too. All right. So if you don't have the King James Only Controversy, you need to have that. You understand where you get your Bibles from. It's very, very important to have that information. You should know as a Christian where you get your Bibles from. You need to understand, because it, whenever you engage with any cult or ism, any atheist even, that wants to attack the Bible or criticize the Bible, they're always going to attack it in some way that's not relevant. Maybe they don't even understand the transmission of the text. It's good for you to be able to actually walk them through that. And I think it's amazing. The story of how God has preserved his word is glorious and powerful and amazing. And it's important for you to understand how God has done that. And if you're talking to Mormons, you need to know this, because one of the things they attack is the Bible. They say it's been corrupted. And if you don't understand where you got your Bible from, that's going to be a difficult conversation to have. So the King James Only controversy, but also the Forgotten Trinity, very important book to have. And if you don't have that in your library, you need to sell your shoes and buy it. and so get it, Amazon Prime, sometimes same day. You'll get it quickly and start reading that book. Get to know it. So
speaking of the King James Only controversy, somebody messaged us yesterday, I think, and we're trying to see if you'd be willing to do a team up in a debate with Hovind. And I was like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm way too busy right now for something like that.
Well, yeah, but I'm just the whole King James.
Yeah, the King, yeah, exactly.
I, like, yeah, I don't think he liked Calvinists either.
No. Gail Riplinger, don't think so.
Yeah, that's right. That's I didn't even make that connection. Yeah. It's been a long 6 months. So let's go right into it. So we're going to play clips now. Just a bit, just to give you a taste of it so you go and watch the full debate. I think it's very helpful. It's 3.5 hours long on YouTube, South Dakota apologetics.
Yeah, there's half an hour worth of dead air.
There's a bunch of pauses there, which was so frustrating when you're watching it live. You're like, my son, Stellar, he's 8, and he was watching it with me. And every time we got to that part, it was the worst thing, sitting with an 8-year-old waiting for it to start up again. He's like, when's it going to come? It was like driving with a kid across the country. Are we there yet? okay. So actually, it was really cool. I'll just say this. With my own family, after watching the debate, my son, who's 8, started asking a lot of questions about the Trinity. Mm. And it was really cool. We were in my room 2 days ago, and he came up to me, just random child question, goes, yeah, let's talk about the Trinity. And I was like, okay. And so I started explaining to him, and he goes, that's so hard to understand. I said, yes, but see, that's because he's God, and he's not like you. He's not a creature like you, and he doesn't fit into this world like we do. And he's God, and he has to be bigger than us, and of course he is. And he goes, that's right. He goes, okay, so help me again. I was like, so there's only one God. The Father is God. The Bible says that Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And yet Jesus is not the Father. The Father is not the Son. He goes, oh, that makes perfect sense. He's like, okay. He goes, it's still amazing, but I get it. I was like, okay. So he's reading the Forgotten Trinity, doing an essay now.
You ever hear Dr. Bonson's analogy of the Trinity? He doesn't like any of them. And granted, because they all fail in some respect.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But I heard him on, he says, this is one that I will bring out. Of course, you know, he doesn't like any of them, but I think it's pretty cool. He says, imagine 3 distinct balloons filled with the same air. He said, not the same quantity of air, but 3 distinct balloons filled with the same air. Of course, it's going to fail on many levels, but that's a mind bender. You think, I can't even imagine that. And that's,
but that air has to be unique.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be any place other than those 3 balloons. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, each divine person fully possesses the divine being. So that would still divide it into 3. Yeah.
It was his favorite of bad ones.
Let's my favorite bad analogy.
Who, this guy?
Hey, there you go.
Okay, here we go. So I'm just going to play the part. This is right after Dr. White gives his first opening statement. And I think it's really, really good. Powerful. Just if you listen to this thing just for the like opening statement, closing, the rebuttal, it's just beautiful. But this is like, hello, nice to meet you. And here comes the ventilation, right? Just like, boom. Comes right at ventilacion.
Well, you said that they've been known to rush the stage, right?
In the Philippines, yeah.
Yeah. There's some. I did notice, Dr. White, like the extended discussion at the beginning about keep yourselves chill, everyone stay calm. I was like, he's going on for a while about this. Okay, here we go. This is like the introduction to the first cross examination.
That ain't for me.
They're cheering for him.
How would I address you, Dr. White?
That's fine.
Okay. Dr. White, the first verse you used was John 17:3, am I right?
Yes.
Okay. In John 17:3, who's the one speaking at that verse?
Jesus addressing the Father.
Okay, he was addressing the Father.
Yes.
Now, when he addressed the Father, okay, what did he say to the Father?
Could you pause it a second? Yeah. I brought up John 17:3 in saying that if you quote John 17:3, you're proving you don't understand the Trinity. That this is a canard, that it's a waste of our time, you're assuming Unitarianism, the whole nine yards. He ignored all that.
Mm-hmm.
Just so, see, this is what he's doing here, he's done in every single debate on this subject, going through this thing about John 17:3. And so he doesn't care about me or my position. He's doing this for his people.
That's right.
And that's all that you've got. You've got to understand that.
Yep. And so John 17:3 is a popular passage that people will go to who want to diminish or deny the deity of Christ, is because Jesus...
You are the only true God.
Yeah, Jesus says to the Father, you are the one and the only true God. And so they say to that, well, Jesus is saying he's the only true God, so therefore Jesus isn't God.
Saying the Father is the only true God.
Yeah, the Father, yeah. So you took the legs right off because you say... I'm not assuming Unitarianism.
Well, a couple of things. They always take you always take a phrase that says the whole thing. What Jesus is saying is, this is life eternal. They may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
Yes.
So to have eternal life is to have joint knowledge of the Father and the Son. And since we're all monotheists, what's Jesus going to refer to God as anyways? One of many gods,
right.
One of plurality of gods, one of three gods, two gods, whatever else it might be. That doesn't make any sense. What Jesus is saying is eternal life is found in knowing God, the only God that exists.
Right.
And he has now sent his Son, which in one sentence later, he's going to say eternally existed with him in a glorious state before the world came into existence, but they skipped that part.
Right.
And this is how a person has eternal life.
Right.
They don't care that that's what the flow of John is. They don't care to look at John 17 as it's related to everything else that's come before, everything else comes afterwards. That kind of exegesis, that kind of honoring the word of God, unknown to them, unknown. Okay.
So you have Jesus calling the Father God.
Yes.
Is there any place where the Father calls Jesus God?
Yes, there is, if you're ready to deal with the objections to that. In Hebrews 1:6, 1:8 actually, you do have a reference like that. But the Unitarians, look, Unitarians have been at this for a long time. These kinds of guys aren't, that type of guy wouldn't be as good as many, but especially some Jehovah's Witnesses are very, very good at disputing whether that text in Hebrews chapter 1 should be translated, God is your throne, or your throne, O God. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know the background in the Psalter and things like that, it can, they'll be ready for you. They'll be ready for you.
Hey, do you mind if I ask just a quick question?
Go for it,
because this is something that has puzzled me. These cults, what do they believe Jesus was crucified for? What was his crime? Because his very crime was blasphemy, claiming to be God. So they must have some other reason for Jesus' crucifixion, for his, what was his crime, according to
that? That would require a positive theology from their side, which I did not get any positive theology out of that debate whatsoever, to be honest.
But with the other cults, I figure, well, they understood back then what Jesus was claiming. They killed him for it.
Well, they would say the Jews were wrong for that, that they misunderstood him. Normally, when John 5 is quoted, making yourself equal with God, they say that's just the Jewish misinterpretation. Mm-hmm. Jesus then goes on to correct the misinterpretation where he says he does nothing of his own, so on and so forth. That's generally the Unitarian response to those things.
Yeah, and Dr. White, you brought that up in the debate. You talked about how they picked up stones to stone him, and they knew why they were doing
it. Right.
They understood what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, John chapter 10, Jesus says, many good works have I shown you from the Father, for which of these do you stone me? And they say, for thy good works we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, that you being a man,
make yourself equal with God. Mm-hmm.
They understood. And Jesus was clear. The Bible was clear. Here we go.
Concerning God.
He addressed him as the only true God.
The what?
The only true God.
Oh, he heard me.
Okay.
Trust me.
So, if the one that is talking to the Father is saying, you are the only true God, how would you understand the word only? Could there be another God?
No, I'm a monotheist, sir. I don't assume Unitarianism.
I will repeat the question.
He's really struggling.
No. This is exactly what he intends to do. When he gets an answer other than what would cause his people normally to applaud, he will say, I will repeat the question. Mm-hmm. Because he's not asking for my answer. He's trying to get a particular response to fit into what they're expecting the other side to say. This is just cultic mind control So when he says, what's that? He heard what I said. This is a game that he's playing all the way through. It's very disrespectful, but it is what has given him the position that he has in this group.
I was just wondering if one of the rungs was get the title bro.
Bro,
actually,
bro Joe.
No, actually, they demanded that people put on the flyers because for them, that is a title, and they even use it of us. Even when we say we don't believe the same things, they will still call us brother.
One thing that really stood out for me in the debate as well, when you asked him a question, he would spend more time saying that he has an answer to the question than answering the question. And it was just like to eat up time, I think.
Part of it was he was doing a lot of self-defense stuff, and then he was trying to find some way of always taking it back to the key phrases that will keep his constituent people hearing what they want to hear. Yeah.
So quick, this is from the end, just a little clip here. This is after his final closing statement. Dr. White has an opportunity to ask him questions, and here we go.
Please.
All right. I love
that. I've outlined in order that you may know and believe and understand. And then could you look at the last three words there and tell me what those are?
See, I had a problem with my eyeglasses.
He walked away from the thing here and was pretending that he couldn't read the screen.
Yes.
Is that what you're asking for?
Yes. Yes. Hati ego eimi. Huh? Who's speaking in Isaiah 43:10?
Well, it's obvious. It's God who is speaking in Isaiah 43:10.
So Yahweh is speaking.
I'm looking over. There is a tetragrammaton in that.
This is Greek.
What is that? What's that mean? I'm looking to see if there's a tetragrammaton.
He seemed to be confused because it's Isaiah 43:10, but I was showing him the Greek Septuagint.
Okay.
And so he was looking for Hebrew.
Gotcha.
Sir, it's not...
I know. That's why I said, I don't see a kerius there.
Right there.
Do you have the kerius?
No, there's not.
Oh,
well, yeah, there is. Legai kurias hatheas. Says the Lord God. It's Yahweh. It's Yahweh in Hebrew.
Okay.
My point is, sir, why does Yahweh use the phrase ego eimi of himself?
Well...
Isn't that a title? Isn't that a name?
Ego eimi is not a name.
So it's not being used here as a name? That you may not understand that, okay. Ego eimi, I am.
I am, see? But he didn't say, well, my name is ego eimi. That's the difference in Exodus 3:14 when Moses was asked, what is his name?
But
he said, it is just your conclusion based on what you're saying.
All right, that except God, that's what Jesus quotes of himself in John 13:19.
Oh, that's what he quoted?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am. You want me to show it to everybody so they can see it, say it too?
Ego eimi, okay.
That'd be really, really be nice for everybody to see here.
Can you help everyone understand what was that all about?
Yeah, well, here was my argument. You've got 20 minutes, okay? You got 20 minutes to present the Trinity to somebody. How are you going to do it? And I do this to Jehovah's Witnesses too. I think the most effective way of doing this is saying, look, we all believe there's only one true God. We clearly believe the Father, Son, and the Spirit are differentiated from one another. They're not confused with one another. So how do I prove the doctrine of the Trinity? Well, if you can find the Bible that the being of God is attributed to three distinct persons, that's the doctrine of the Trinity. Mm-hmm. And so I say, look, Yahweh is the Father identified as Yahweh. It's Yahweh that lays our sins upon the Messiah, for example. The Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord, which is the Spirit of Yahweh.
Yeah.
And so if Jesus is identified as Yahweh, you have one being of God, Yahweh, three distinct persons. So I presented that in my opening statement, and I mentioned John 13:19. I just don't think that they ever looked any of them up, or if they had read the chapter in my book or whatever it might be. And so he didn't show any understanding of it, and he just did not. He tried to parallel Jesus' use of I am with the blind man saying I am in John 9:9.
Right.
Which is ridiculous. It's a completely different context. But so I wanted. He had said, "I am doesn't mean anything. Nowhere in the Bible is that associated with God's name." Well, it's all through Isaiah. So I went to Isaiah 43:10 because I knew he'd like that text. And there is believe that I am. And then I took him to John 13:19. And on the night of his betrayal, he's talking. He's telling him what's going to happen with Judas, in the same context of the prophecy of future events. He says that you may understand and believe that I am. He uses the exact same verb. It's clearly from Isaiah 43:10,
right.
Except he applies it to himself.
Yeah.
So if Yahweh says it of himself as you are to believe that I am in Isaiah 43:10, and Jesus says you believe that I am in John 13:19, what are you going to do with that? And he had no earthly idea what to do with it.
Right.
He was trying to find some way of using up that last 5 minutes, and he was saved by the gavel.
Right.
To where he didn't have to provide an answer.
Yeah, it was a powerful moment. I think you should watch the debate. I think it's amazing. I think it's a great tool for understanding.
Can you wrap it up, brother?
Yeah.
I want to read this one quote.
Okay.
I hope somebody makes a meme of it. My favorite part of the debate. A non-divine Jesus cannot be the one who brings about the full satisfaction of the wrath of God against our sins.
Yeah.
and that just flowed off his tongue, but I thought it was beautiful. I hope somebody memes it, because that's what it's all about.
I got a lot of gospel into that one.
Amen.
You did. It was wonderful. That's what I mean. If you watch it just for the closing statements and the rebuttal stuff, I mean, it's just saturated with the gospel. And I really appreciated, Dr. Way, how when it came, I think it was your closing, you turned and you faced all the people from ING that were there.
That's right.
And spoke.
Not the bank.
Yeah, that's a bank. And then, wait, isn't that an insurance firm? Okay. No, you spoke directly to them, and I thought that was powerful. I think it's all part of loving people too. You treat them like a human being. Like I'm here because I care about you, and this is not just a debate. Like, I care about you guys. You need to think about this. That's important. Instead of talking over people or just at people, you're trying to love people. And that's important to do. So I think you should watch the debate, guys. Again, we're going to put it underneath everything we post, this podcast, TV show. So you get a chance to watch it and share it. Let people see it, because I think it's important. Luke the Bear.
This is good. Thank you.
Dieton, Brooke and Kate.
Thanks for having me here, brother.
ProofThatGodExists.org. You guys should go check it out. Support this guy. He's a blessing. We love him. And yeah, share his stuff too, guys. And then Dr. James White.
So Psy is proof that God exists? Every time you said yes! that, I'm just Born going,
arrow, yeah. Actually, yes.
Everything is. We're the ultimate evidentialist.
That's right.
Everything. Dr. James White, aomen.org. Don't forget, guys, to subscribe to his YouTube channel. It's Alpha Omega Ministries on YouTube. Subscribe. Check out the Dividing Line every week. Go back, look at the debates, everything you can. Get his books, get his resources. He's a gift to the church, so make sure you guys check him out. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Been awesome. Catch you guys next time. Hey guys, don't fast forward through this commercial. Important message for you guys. We're meeting at a new location for Apologia Church worship services. I'm Jeff Durbin, pastor at Apologia Church. Join us for worship 4 p.m. on Sundays.
We are a family integrated church. Sorry, do I introduce myself?
Yeah, you can say Joy. Yeah, you can say Joy.
I don't. He can cut this, so just talk about
it. Yeah.
But what do I do at the church? They're going to be like, that's one of those churches that has a lady pastor.
I want to keep this as a part of the commercial. I want you to leave this. Okay. All right. Luke.
This is Luke the Bear, discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. And the new location we're meeting at, like Jeff said, it's Tempe Vineyard Church. I think you said it was Tempe Vineyard Church.
No, I didn't.
You didn't, but that's okay.
You just did.
The address is 1805 East Elliott Road, number 112. Tempe, Arizona, 85284. That is on the southeast corner of McClintock and Elliott. Bring your wives, bring your kids, and bring your husbands too, because we're teaching everybody up in here.
Bring your beards, if you got them. Or no. It's up to you.
I'll have mine.
All right, guys. That's our new commercial. I think it's professional. We'll see you at Apologia Church. Join us for worship.
ApologiaChurch.com.